Father, I thank you for Eddie. I thank you for Bethany. I thank you for the anointing and calling on their lives. And we as a family ask that right now your spirit would rest upon them and that you would speak to them and through them and that we'd be challenged and transformed by the hearing of the word of God. Let your presence be known this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister through your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Good morning, Grace Chapel. You bunch of overcomers, you. I think this is such a cool church. During the worship song, I was just thinking about how there's so many people here with all kinds of different stories.
Yes.
Some of you have overcome a lot, and some of you have been through so much. Some of you are still going through a lot. And I just think this is so cool to get to be sharing life with you. As I walked in the church, I was like, hey, this person I knew when they were a solid Christian and they inspired me and encouraged me and they mentored me. And then I said, hey, this person I met when they weren't a Christian. And I was able to be a part of their life coming to Christ. And it's just been a fun experience being here this morning to share today, isn't it?
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about our story, your story, and God's story. Just wanting to tie into this whole missions aspect of reaching out to one another, reaching out to the lost. I just feel like one of the biggest tools that God has given us is our own personal story. You know, the Bible talks about that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and the word of our testimony has power. How many of you know that? Amen. So we're going to talk about a lot about our stories today, and we're going to do a little processing.
Yes.
So that we can be sharing our stories on a daily basis.
That was my cue. You guys get that from your wife sometime where it's like, hmm? It's better than the stink eye where it's like, hmm. we all love stories, right? Yeah? If you don't love a story, then you've been not realizing you love stories. All of our culture uses stories. If you like a good book, guess what it has? A story. If you like a good movie, guess what's in the movie? If you watch the news, the actual current events we discover and understand life as, guess what's in it? Story. If you go to social media, guess what's there? Nonsense. If we invest in stocks, how we use our money and invest our money, we listen to the current story of how money is working and what is happening to companies. Stories are crucial to your life, and they're crucial to what you do with it and where you get your information. Stories are so integrated into our hearts that it's almost like a specific thing that happens to us, but we sometimes miss the story of what's happening to us. And when I think about stories, I think Jesus must have been the most epic, amazing storyteller in the world, because he would pack out houses where they'd be completely full because he was telling stories. He'd draw crowds from thousands of miles away, or thousands, hundreds of miles away, with thousands of people to come hear him share stories. So if Jesus was good at that, and he's my leader, my best friend, and the person I want to be like, maybe I should learn to become good at telling stories like him, right? Because we all have a story, but do you share it? And how well do you share it?
So we want to be looking at Jesus, who is the author of our stories. Hebrews 12:2 says, we look at Jesus, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? So we don't want to just look inward. First, we want to begin by looking outward at God. He has always had a plan. Throughout history, throughout the ages, God has had this plan, this story going. This giant story, if you can just picture this like scroll of like throughout history, the creation and creating and putting people in and out of history. And it's going, 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 going. And then he places us, you know, in the story. And we're all like in his story. So we want to remember that, yes, we have our own stories, but also be looking at the big picture of it's his story. And he's got a story, and he's got a plan, and he sees the whole thing. He can look at it, and he can see the whole thing from beginning to end. It says that he's the author. So we We cannot see the beginning. I can't remember the beginning of my story.
You have some sort of weird superpower.
Yeah. And I can't see the end, but Jesus can. So all those times where I don't understand, I know that God sees the whole picture, and he can.
So in order to tell the story of Jesus, this is just what I've taught teenagers and youth how to give what's called testimony. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in Revelations. And I don't have that verse, sorry, I forgot to put it in my notes, but I just remembered it, so I shared it. So thank you. So if that's the heart of prophecy, is testimony of Jesus, then how do we do that? Because the Bible doesn't really say, here's how to give your testimony. And there's lots of types of testimonies. It's not just how you met Jesus. It's also maybe a story about how you connected to Jesus and how he helped you in your life. I know in my life, I've experienced many testimonies, but only one of them is actually the time where I gave my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know, how do we do this? And so when I would go on missions trips, I would train teenagers. I did this for 15 years. I would take youth every summer. I'd probably take about anywhere from like 80 to 200 youth overseas, and I'd teach them, here's how you give your testimony. And with youth, you have to make it very, very, very simple. Not because they are not intelligent, it's because they're very hyper. And their attention span sometimes is like, squirrel! And it's just like that. So I made it very three simple steps. And I do this with teens, so I'll do it with you today. This is just my version of what to do. Sound good? Awesome. First step is what's life? This is the story of your life now. What is life or your life experience like without Jesus? So that would be the first thing. Just think about that. Your experience, maybe your salvation story, maybe it's an event in your life that you walk through. And this is how you know you're ready to share it. First, you think, what was it like without Jesus? What was the experience? What was your life without Jesus? Second, how did Jesus connect to you through this? Like, what did he do? What happened to make this connection? And then lastly, what's the difference Jesus has made since you've connected with him? What differences do you see? Maybe it's not perfect, but what's the differences? Now, there's a secret theme there in every point. Did you guys catch it? Hey, you're smarter than the average apple. Yes, Jesus. That's right. It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
So many times in stories, I've heard people give their testimonies. They only focus on like their pain and their sorrow and their horrid and wretched mistakes in life. And then at the very end, they say something about Jesus. And as great as I want to appreciate your story and your pain and your sorrow, it may not tell the best story. Like if I was going to tell a story about how I met my beautiful wife, Bethany. Aw, no Oz?
Aww.
Gosh, you guys are a tough crowd. All right, if I was to tell a story about how I met my beautiful wife, Bethany. Aww. Oh, thank you. I would be like, well, see, I was single and I was alone and I just really was sad. And I was so sad. I just was miserable. And I would dress in dark clothes and sit in my room all the time. And then I was still so sad. So then I started to stop eating food. And I just sat in my room and I got really, really skinny because I was so sad. And then I was so sad, I quit talking to people. I even stopped going on Facebook. And I just would sit in my room all by myself. And I was so miserable that I would even think about hurting myself. And I was so sad and miserable. And then one day I met Bethany and we got married. Is that a story? No, what happened? How did you connect with this? What's going on? You see, I know this is not this is not from the Bible that teaches you, this is just me, but I just want to tell you, if there's a story, you got to have something to it. You got to make it more than just about you. It's got to be about the theme of Jesus and what he's doing and how he's working in you and what he did to work in other people in your life and your testimony. Because this is all about Jesus and what he's doing. But if I tell a story about, hey, you know, I I was alone and I really wanted to marry somebody someday. And so I started working and asking God, what can I do? And I said, I got a job. God said, get a job and take a shower. And so I took a shower and I got a job. And I started doing all these things. And then I started searching. And God said, think about what kind of woman you want in your life. And so I started writing down the things that to look for in a wife. And I started dating girls saying, no, not this one. No, not this one. But I knew that, God, I really want to find somebody that looks like this. Who do I find? And one day, my friend says, I'm going to go to Cambodia and I'm going to teach at a school with a girl named Bethany. I said, Bethany sounds nice. And then I went and I met Bethany. I saw her and then I heard the Holy Spirit go, yes. I said, woo, Mufasa. I found Bethany. This is a story of what God did in my life. He can do it for you. Take a shower. Get a job, guys. You can do it. Come on. It's possible. Love Jesus. It can be done. This makes it a testimony about Jesus. Do you see the difference? Yeah. Excellent. Again, my opinion, but I think it's a good one. Okay. All right. So how does your story work? Well, first we have to realize your story goes beyond age. It goes way beyond the age. How old you are doesn't matter. How young you are doesn't matter. I mean, you have to be able to like communicate. Like my daughter Anna Jack can only say "uh-oh," so she's not going to tell a story very well. But you have to realize that this goes beyond your age. It says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Set an example in your speech. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, and I will add in there, or older. Don't let anyone look down on you because you have a certain age. When I was on a mission trip, my first time taking a group of teenagers overseas, I went to Kenya. And has anyone been to Kenya before? Has anyone been to Africa before? Yeah, I met one person. Okay. Ron, he has two. So we went to Africa, and this was back in the 1990s, a long time ago. And it was kind of intimidating to take teenagers over to these countries. And this 14-year-old boy named Brandon, I'll never forget him. He came up to me and he said, Eddie, today I'm supposed to share my testimony, because what we do is we do a drama. And we get a large crowd gathered. In Kenya, it's not hard because they don't have much technology, so you just play some music really loud and everybody starts showing up. So we're like doing this drama and like crowd is building. Now it's like up to 200 people. And Brandon walks up to me. He's like, Eddie, I'm supposed to share my testimony. I said, I know, it's going to be great. And he's like, yeah, but I don't have one. I was like, I was told by Jesus everyone has a story. So you must have a story. And he's like, no, I don't. I've been a Christian my whole life. I haven't done anything bad. And I'm young. I'm 14. And some of these guys, they're like older than me. And they know more than me. And they probably have a better story than me. I was like, well, I don't know about that. Because I don't know if they have Jesus. But why don't you just tell your story as best you can. And I gave him these 3 points. I said, life without Jesus, how you connected with Jesus, how your life is different because of him. And I said, just try it. He said, okay. So he gets up, so nervous. 14-year-old, skinny, white kid, standing up in front of like 200 Kenyans. And he's like, okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Brandon. And I'd like to tell you about my life. See, I grew up in a family that believes in Jesus. They taught me about Jesus from a small child. Each night before I go to bed, my mom would tell me stories about how God came as a man named Jesus. And he died for our sins, and he rose again, and he has the ability to forgive our sins. And as a little boy, I listened to her, and I didn't know if it was true or right at first, but as she shared her stories, I decided over the course of a few years that this was true. And I knew it was true in my heart. So I started to live for Jesus at the age of 5 or 7. And to that age now, for the last 7 years, I have lived for Jesus. And I have found that if life goes good or life goes bad, I can trust him, and so can you. And I would like you to know now that you have the opportunity to make this choice too, just like I did when I was 7. You can do it now, no matter what your age is. Who would like to give their life to Jesus now? And we didn't even get a chance to do the drama. All of a sudden, all these Kenyans came forward, and they all wanted to pray to receive Jesus. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter. Young or old, you have a story. Doesn't matter how bad your life was or how good it was. You have a story.
I had a similar experience as Brandon, as far as like, I don't know how to share my story because I don't remember life before Jesus. I was a Christian by the time I was probably 3. There was no life before Jesus. So how do I put this into a testimony to be able to give God glory? Because there wasn't like a black and white, a time without Jesus and a time with Jesus. There was just always with Jesus. And it was also growing up, I never had a time where I walked away from Jesus. So it was easy to think like, oh, I'm a pretty good person. But it's amazing how many people in America think they're pretty good people. And actually living in a Buddhist nation, this is also kind of the thought. I'm a pretty good person. I do lots of works. And as long as I'm a pretty good person. But I also grew up in a Christian home where even though I was a pretty good person, I found out that I am still on par with every other sinner out there. Every single other sinner out there to God and His standards, I have already fallen short. I have already sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I still need a Savior, just as bad as every other person on earth needs a Savior. So God has been able to use that in my life to show that it's not about how bad we were before Jesus or how bad we were. It's not about our morality. It's just about Jesus and our need for Him, because we all, every single one of us, need Jesus. And that's what we want to focus on, is Him.
Amen. It's by grace you've been saved.
Yes.
His good grace.
Not our works.
Definitely not mine. Maybe Bethany's. But...
No.
She's the one who's like has the story of like, I was perfect, and I'm like, I'm not so much.
No. Nobody's perfect.
I probably relate to
more people
here.
We all need Jesus.
Okay. So your story goes beyond your age. It goes beyond your morality, good or bad. And it also goes beyond your culture. There's something about, the proverb puts it like this. It says, good news from a distant land is like cool water to a dry mouth. It's kind of like anyone in here that's done missions work or has been a missionary, you can relate to this. There's something when you show up into a country that you're not from, people are somehow interested in you. They want to hear what you have to say. And sometimes we think, well, I'm nothing like this culture. They don't understand me. But if you go to them with the love of Jesus, it passes cultural barriers. Mm. Somehow, some way, it just connects. Mm. I remember when I was doing Young Life ministry, and yeah, I got some Young Lifers in here. So Young Life does these amazing ministry where they reach out to teenagers that are not in church. They go to the schools and wherever else, the skate parks, and they invite them to come to these amazing camps. And at these camps, they call it the best week of your life. I mean, these camps have the best food you could ever get, so they say, you know, although I've had better experiences since. But they say it's the best food. They have so many fun games. They have this blob that you jump on it. Projects you into the lake. They have water slides. I mean, zip lines. They have all this amazing stuff, funny activities to do, food fights, all this crazy stuff, all to entertain teenagers. And even that, still, the teenagers complain about being bored. And I remember they get the best speaker at these camps, the speakers that can just share the most amazing messages in 15 minutes, because that's the time frame that they have, 15 to 20 minutes to share a message. Not like this morning, I'm sorry. But they have these amazing speakers that come to these camps. And I was a worker at one of these camps. I didn't bring any kids. I was serving. I was doing grounds work, and I was helping out for a summer. And I heard this speaker, and he was amazing, but he could only get the kids to sit still for 15 minutes. But at the end of the night during free time, we had a person who was a missionary to Russia. He's actually not a missionary. He's from Russia, and he's a Christian from Russia. And he came to visit our camp to see if he wants to start a Young Life camp in Russia. And when he came to the chapel, he sat in the back of the chapel, kind of like this room, and it was he was sitting in a chair. And a few teenagers kind of wandered in during their free time, and they asked him, where are you from? Because they heard his accent. He said, I'm from Russia. I can't do a Russian accent. I'm from Russia. And they heard this accent, they sat down, and they started to listen to his story. They just wanted to know, well, what's this strange Russian guy doing here? And then pretty soon it grew from two to four kids. I left and I came back, and it was at 20 kids. Because I had to go do some work. And I thought, well, that's strange. And he's just sharing stories to these kids. And I thought, this is amazing. They've been in here for like 30 minutes, and they're just checking out this guy's story. So I think I'll leave and I'll come back and I'll lock the doors, because I was in charge of locking the doors that night. So I left and I came back 30 minutes later, and now it's at 100 kids. Just sitting there, no microphone, no fancy PowerPoint, just a guy from Russia, an old guy, just sitting there sharing his stories about what God did with his life in Russia and how he lives his life for Jesus. Non-Christian kids, just interested to hear more from this good news from a distant land. And I was amazed by this because your story passes beyond culture. Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Absolutely. So you see that our stories, it doesn't matter who the person we're talking with, how old they are, if they're older than us, if they're younger than us. Like, we have things to share with every age group. We have things to share with every culture. It doesn't matter if we've been through the things that they've been through, because our testimonies go beyond culture. And it doesn't matter our morality. We all are on the same level playing field. We all were in need of a Savior, and we all need Jesus. And we want to remember, I know that many of us here have been through painful, painful experiences. There are situations in our lives we can still maybe have difficulty seeing where God was in that. But I believe that God is our Redeemer. And as we begin to give these painful situations of our past, our bad decisions, the things that the enemy has done to us, the things that the enemy has stolen from us, I believe in Jesus' name they get redeemed. Who believes that God is powerful enough to redeem every situation? I do. With all my heart, I believe that he can redeem it. Mm. And when I say redeem it, he doesn't change the past, but he makes it so those things that the enemy has taken from us turn around, and now it's like our benefit and our reward. Like, that's redemption to me. It goes from, like, I was in the hole negative, and now I'm, like, way on top just because of Jesus and his redemptive power and his victory. So we want to be able to focus on the victory of Jesus in our stories, the redemption of Jesus in our stories, because I know that we've all been through painful things, but he's also victorious in all things.
Yeah, so good. I almost say it like, when bad things happen to me, God's such a great Redeemer, he makes it seem like it should have happened that way, you know? Mm-hmm. He's just so great at making, like, my mistakes and the bad things that happen to me, making good come from it. Mm-hmm. But it's never his intention for bad for you.
No.
His intention is always good. It just, he's so good at making good things happen out of your life, it just sometimes feels that way. He's so amazing. In my life, I've learned that sometimes you have to wait to share your story if you're wounded or hurt. Mm-hmm. This is going to get real talk. So, hashtag real talk. If you are wounded and you can't see the victory of what Jesus has done in your situation, then you need to wait and not share your story until it's a proper time. It says in Ecclesiastes, there's a proper time for everything. Yes. And everything for its time. And there's a time for reaping a harvest and all that stuff and sharing your story, but there's also a time for waiting for the victory and waiting for the maturity of that story to come out. In my life, before I was married to this beautiful woman, I was actually married before this. I had my first wife. And while we were missionaries, she left me. And it hurt me deeply. I mean, there is nothing more, I think, detrimental to your heart than someone who rejects you and wants to divorce you. Like, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. If you've been through that, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're married, you can imagine how much that would hurt. You know, it just is a shameful thing to happen. And I was really hurt by it. And I have a friend, when this happened to me, who took me alongside him. Some of you know him. His name's Willie Register. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And he didn't say anything to me. He just said, Eddie, let's go to Uganda together. But while we're in Uganda, I'd just gone through this horrific thing where my ex-wife had left me. He didn't ask me, hey, Eddie, will you share everybody your testimony about your ex-wife and how God's healed your heart? Because my heart wasn't healed. It was hurting. Instead, he just said, hey, Eddie, share other stories. Share what God has done in this. And just that time of being able to get healed, he allowed that to happen. And in that season, I wasn't ready to share about, even mention or think about what's going on in my heart because it hurts so bad. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you hurt so bad, you got to be careful about who you share this to in those wounded times. Because the last thing the Satan wants to do is he wants to taint your hurt and your pain and distort it. And you need to make sure you're getting people that love you and are pointing you to Jesus in your pain in order for this story to mature to the way God wants it to be, for you to get healing. And so a year later, my heart had gotten healing it needed. It's not a magical year thing. That's just how long it took me. And I started to date again, and Willie then came up to me and he said, hey, Eddie, your heart seems pretty good about this. And I said, yeah. He's like, okay, I want you to share that story to all the small groups. And so he had me go and share my testimony about how God brought me through a divorce into a place where I could love again and find a beautiful wife. Because he's like, people need to hear about this and what Jesus can do. I was like, all right. So then at that time I was ready. But the point is this. If you're wounded, wait. Wait and get godly counsel. Get people that love you and pour into you and care about you before you start. Because you might end up wounding other people and hurting other people.
So all of us, we've been through a lot in our lives. Unless you're really young, like Anna Jack's age. But the rest of us have been through some stuff in our lives.
I traumatized her a little bit, though. A little bit.
She won't remember.
Good.
So we're going to talk a little bit about just remembering our stories. There's this amazing passage in the Bible in 1 Samuel 7:12. It says that Samuel took a stone, and he put it up, and he called it Ebenezer. For he says, till now the Lord has helped us. And it was basically a physical act of remembering, this is what we've been going through. And up until now, God has been faithful and God has helped us. And there's times in our lives we need to look back and remember the things that God has done in our lives. And we need to look back for ourselves. And so, yes, this is we're talking about preparing our testimonies to be able to share with the lost. But it's also really important that we have these things in our lives for us. Because there will be dark days. As a Christian, I believe you've probably experienced dark days, discouraging days, where it's just hard. It's just hard. Life can get really hard because we don't see God. We don't see eternity right now. And we're living in the here and now. But I was so encouraged by David. And if you ever read the Psalms, who likes the Psalms? I love the Psalms. Because you can see he's like, oh, he's going through all this hard stuff. And he's writing it down. He's like, oh, all my enemies, they're all having victories over me. And life is horrible. And life is miserable. And then this is Bethany's version of the Psalms. Let's see. Paraphrase. Okay. And then he's like, oh, and then I remember what God did, and I remember, oh yeah, God, wow, he's amazing. Wow, he did so much. Wow, he's like the best thing ever. And by the end of the Psalms, he's like praising, my soul praises, and my soul rejoices. And you can see just the progression in the Psalms that he's going through this on like a daily basis of just strengthening himself and encouraging himself in the Lord just by remembering what God has done. So I just want you guys to be thinking and maybe take some time this week to process, what are some of your Ebenezer stones? What are some of your physical things that you could say, until now, God has helped me. I remember that time where I was lost in Tanzania, and I didn't have any money left, and the ATMs weren't working, and I didn't know anybody there, and I didn't know who to call or what to do, and it's getting dark, and I needed to pay the taxi, and I had no money, and I just cried out to my daddy and said, Daddy, I got nothing. And in walks a woman who saw me and said, do you need some help? and she handed me some money, and she told the taxi driver what to do, where to go, where to take me. She paid the taxi driver, and she didn't know me. And it was an absolute angel from God. And it was one of those times, one of those stones in my life that I knew that no matter where on earth I went, that God would be faithful to me, that he would never let me down, that I was his daughter, and that he would take care of me just as a good father would.
Mm. So she has a picture of Tanzania on the wall. And you remember that. You remember his story, or history, and you live in history by remembering it. And the last thing is you want to know your place in his story or history. In God's story in your life, you want to know what your place is in this, mm-hmm. where you're at in this big picture. So my attempt is to try to show you and explain to you through my amazing PowerPoint presentation. Brace yourself. First of all, you are surrounded by God's story. Your life is like this circle, and you are completely surrounded by his story. Mm-hmm. Now, that little section, that's you. Right there, I had to use an arrow because it's so hard to see. And that's your part in this, okay? But God has surrounded you in a story. Did you know that? Whether you believe in him or not, he has surrounded you in a story. The first part of the story is that he made everything. He made the earth, he made the sky, he made the cow, he made the air you breathe, he made everything around you. He made you. That's a pretty big part. I know I didn't do that. I know you didn't do that, although you are impressive. You didn't do it. Only God did this. Next, God overcame death. He gave purpose to us. I've never done that. You've never done that. It's God. God did this. He overcame death. He was a man named Jesus, died on a cross, gave his life for you and me. Mm. And our sins are now at a point where they can be forgiven.
Woo-hoo.
Woo! Best part of the story. And then God wasn't done there. He then sent other people and inspired them to love you no matter how annoying or disrespectful or rude you are. Sorry, I thought I was talking to teenagers. you and I, he sent people to love you. Did you know that there is people this morning that woke up really early to come and prepare the lights and to clean the church and to put little pamphlets in every chair in case you sat there?
Thank you.
Because they're inspired by God to love you. There's people that all this week have been practicing music and getting together all because God's inspiring them to love you.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's people who are watching some of your children right now.
Thank you.
God inspired them to love you. See, God has surrounded you with people that are inspired to love you with his love. Like, this love doesn't just come from me. I you can recognize this sometimes in your spouse, because sometimes I'm not such a nice guy to Bethany. I know, hard to believe. But like, sometimes I say things wrong, and I do things wrong, and she still loves me. But I know that love isn't because I was a nice guy. It's inspired by something bigger. God puts people in your life to love you and show you that love. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And that's a big part of it too. But then this little part, this is what's required from you. This little part in the story of God. This little tiny part. He requires 100% of your heart. All of you. Not just part of you. You see, your part's small in the story of God, but it's huge to us. It's huge to me. To give 100% of myself is a big deal. All of my heart, all of my mind, all my body to share his story to somebody. That's a big deal. But it's such a small part in all that God has done. And sometimes we get it out of whack because we think, oh, I have to give all of my heart and all my life to this. Well, yeah, but you didn't make the world, so it's not such a big deal, right? Like, you can handle this. Guys, we can do this. We can share his story with all of our heart and all of our mind. Put all of your heart into thinking and maturing yourself to be able to a place where you can share the testimonies of Jesus Christ, because that is the spirit of prophecy. That is the spirit of what God carries people into knowing God. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. We can do this. Sharing his story is what we're created and made to do. And it's our part. No matter how small it is, it's our part to God's big picture of who he is. Yeah, right there.
So I just want to sum up that we are so loved. We are a big part of his story, even though his story is so big. We are so valued to God. We are so, so valued. We are so loved by God that we are a big part of his story. But we were put here for his story. And I want us to remember that. We are put here for his story. He's not just a little part in our story, but we're put here for his amazing story. Our lives are living stories. We're meant to testify. We're meant to bring him glory. This is what we're made for. So I just want to bless you guys. Today we're going to pray. And yeah. So God, I just thank you for each and every beautiful story here that you are the author of. That you are writing our life stories. You are writing these love stories between us and you. And your victory is there in each and every story. And God, I just pray for those who are wounded today, for healing to come to their hearts and healing to come into their stories, that they can see the victory that you have won for them. God, we pray that our lives will reveal the victory. God, I thank you that each and every life here is a miracle. That you have transformed us from the inside out, setting us free from that entanglement of sin. We could never have done that on our own. That is an absolute miracle. That you would change us from the inside out. Thank you for the miracles walking around here in this room. These living stones, these living stories that proclaim the goodness of God. Make us bold. God, I pray for a boldness to fall in each one of us. That we would be ready in every circumstance to share the hope that we have, that dying world desperately, desperately needs. That person that needs to hear our story today, God, I pray that we would be ready.